Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be going through verse number 1 through verse number 9. I'm going to encourage you, before I get going on, I'm going to encourage you the best that I can to be here tonight at 6 o'clock. Try to be here at 5:15 as well, because that's our prayer time. And I'm excited to see what takes place during that time. But 6 o'clock, I'm normally not ready for the evening service a day before. But last night, God began to work in my heart. And tonight's lesson is going to be, where does Christ fit in your life? And I believe God will be dealing with some subjects tonight that I think that we need to look at. And I'm looking forward to that. Normally, I don't plug those things, but God just gave me something last night. I'm excited about it. And we ought to be excited about those things. Well, let's begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 9. And it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men's pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Well, let's have a word of prayer, and as I begin to pray outwardly, I'm going to ask you again, as I normally try to do, sometimes I forget, I want you to pray silently to God and ask God to begin to work in your heart. Say, "God, what do you want me to get from this? I don't have no children that are in my house anymore, and they're all grown up, and they got children of their own." Well, some of you might be grandparents, and you're going through a different stage in your life, and this can be very helpful to you as well. So I just ask that you ask God to work in your heart. Lord, again, it is a joy to be back here this morning. It is a joy to see brothers and sisters in Christ, just watching them walk through the door and having a smile on their face, being excited to see another member that they haven't seen for a few days. God, I pray that now that as we get down to business, and I mean we've opened your word, we've read your word, now, Lord, we have to teach from your word. And so, God, I pray this morning that, first of all, I know the problems that go on behind the pulpit, how Satan's wanting to distort the words that come out of the preacher's mouth. Lord, I know that he's not wanting people to hear things correctly. And, God, I know that that he is at work this morning. So, God, I pray, as I often do, that, Lord, you would shut his mouth and that you would just take him out of here this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you for allowing us to gather once again. Lord, what a joy it is to see the Nelsons with us this morning. We haven't seen them for a while, and God, I know that their health's been up and down. And so, God, I pray that you just continue to bring healing to their bodies, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Walking in obedience is what we're going to be discussing today. A few weeks ago, we left off with wives submitting to their husbands, and I really didn't dwell on it that much because there was another important message that was in there, and that was husbands are to be loving or slash to love their wife. This morning, we are going to see the importance of walking in obedience. We're going to see four things this morning. This passage deals with four different types of people, and I hope that you caught this morning. The first type of person that is dealt with is the child. The second individual surprises me just a little bit because it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," but then after that, the mother is left out of this equation. Because the second person that begins to have the focus upon is the Father. And there's a reason for that. Then the third is going to focus on the servant, which when you begin to think about that, that servant will be dealing with us. And then the fourth person that is going to be dealing with would be the master. That would be the boss of the operation slash owner and having his servants working for him. One, we would see dealing with the family. The other would be dealing with the workforce as well. Before we get into this lesson this morning, let me give you a quick overview of what we will see today, because I don't want you to miss this. Let's first look at Paul's instructions for the Ephesians. Bondservants and masters serve as a form of biblical employees' manual. The reason why I'm focusing on this right now, because I'm going to jump back and we're going to be dealing more with the first two, three verses this morning than we will be dealing with the latter part of this. So I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up. The word bondservant in this context can be translated as slave. Think about that. As we wake up tomorrow morning and we put on our work boots, our work clothes, guess what we're going to be doing? We're going to be going to work because, in a sense, we're a slave. We're a slave to our master. We got to put in the work that is necessary for us to bring the money home. Historians have estimated that at the time of Paul, this might astound you, when Paul wrote these words to the Ephesians, there may have been around 6 million slaves in the Roman Empire. Think about that, 6 million slaves. These slaves had specific jobs, just like we do when we go into our workforce. These jobs would be, for one reason, that would be to carry out the business of Rome during this time. And so they would have jobs like that of farmers. And farmers have a very difficult job. It's gotten a lot easier since the first farmer got out into the field. We've developed machinery that can do a lot of work for us, but it's also gotten more complex as well, because back then they weren't dealing with computerized combines. They weren't dealing with engines that can go wrong mechanically. They had their oxen, they had their cows, and they put the plow behind them, and then they begin to go out into the field and begin to cultivate those areas. By the way, being over in the eastern part of the world, it's not as easy for a farmer to put a plow to an oxen and begin to till that ground up. There's a lot of rocks over there and a lot of work that had to be done. And so in areas where they couldn't get their cattle and their oxen to cultivate the ground, they would also have to get out and begin to do work by hand. Now that's something that has gone away. There's a lot of people today that do not know how to work with their hands. I made illustration the other night, mainly to the younger crowd. The only thing that they really know how to do today when working with their hands is controlling a joystick on their TV console. Gamers is what you want to call them. Don't get me wrong, guys. I like games. My favorite game is Ms. Pac-Man. This school used to have a Ms. Pac-Man machine downstairs, and when I was done with my homework, I would go down there and I would begin to play Ms. Pac-Man. I destroyed that machine. I got the top score on that, but gaming's a little bit different today. So there would be farmers, there would be educators as well. There would be people that would be nannies taking care of their master's children, and many more to name as far as when you use the word slave, bondservant. But Paul also realized many of these slaves were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen to that. With that, he also realized, because of a slave, what kind of treatment they were getting as well. We all have the ability to go into our historian books and begin to pick up books about slaves and what they went through. I've read many of those books, and I tell you what, every time I read those books and I hear of how slaves were mistreated, it just really cuts to the heart. because no human being should be treated poorly by another individual. But that's still taking place today, not necessarily in the slave form, but we have people who are constantly fighting with one another. We have people who will pull knives on one another. We'll have people who will pull guns on one another and begin to shoot each other. Over in Israel this week, there was a reporter that was doing her job, and somebody pulled out a gun and killed her. It took her life. There's no regard for human life. We treat people so horribly. And then I was able to actually see the funeral Friday night, and there was a big protest in the very Jewish quarters that Jeff and I were standing in a few weeks ago. And to see that take place, it just really, man, my mind went back. I was like, wow, I cannot believe this is going on. But we treat people horribly, and Paul knew of this. Some of their masters were cruel. They were heartless. Some masters also treated them as family. There were some good masters out there that would treat their slaves as if they were their own family members. And there have been many stories about that. Matter of fact, there are some masters out there that would take on slaves to protect them from the life that they can possibly go into. They were being a friend to them. And so there was masters who were cruel and heartless, and then ones that treated them as family. And one of the reasons why they maybe treated them as family is because maybe they were believers as well. Now, as we give you this little bit of a background here in this, the first verse talks of walking in obedience. And we see that the child is the center of the stage. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Do you realize this morning that as a child, we do not have it's not up to us. How do I say this? It's a command for us to obey our parents by Scripture. But unfortunately, as we go through life, I've seen parents give their kids a choice to whether obey them or not. So the first verse talks of walking in obedience. All of the stages of walking that we have dealt with, we've dealt with walking with wisdom, we've dealt with walking in unity, but we're going to end this with walking in obedience. Could it be that Paul knew of the problems parents were having with their kids? By the way, problems still exist with kids today, do they not? We still have rebellious kids. We still have unruly kids. Even if they're brought up in a Christian household, we still deal with that problem. Why? Because we're people. And we're going to see this as we go along. Honestly, this morning, I wish the young people were in here this morning. I texted Jeff last night, and I said, "Listen, Jeff, I know you haven't taught your class in a couple weeks, and I know he's been anxious to get back to it. Matter of fact, you guys don't know this, but as we're floating on the Sea of Galilee, Jeff, as soon as he got done, and Jeff floats very well in the Dead Sea. Everybody floats well in the Dead Sea. But anyway, Jeff got done, and he went back to his room and got on his phone and did a video call with his class. And so I know he has a great desire to get back in there and to begin teaching today. And I said, "Hey, you're more than welcome to come in here because I think it'd be great for them." But he says, "I'll pass, thank you, but I really want to teach the class this morning." But with that being said, it will be good for us to rehearse this with them later. The word obey is used, and that is a word that may seem foreign, not just to kids, but it's a word that will probably seem foreign to adults as well. For example, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Just to give you a little bit of an idea on how we as adults have trouble obeying as well. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Could it be maybe we have rebellious kids, maybe we have disrespectful kids, or maybe we have disobedient kids, because we adults have the same issues when it comes to being obedient. I want you to think about this. As you place yourself underneath the authority of the pastor of the church, and the pastor does his best to get into God's word and brings things to our attention for this reason, so that we can learn to live our lives according to the word of God, and he pours his heart and he pours his soul into it, not just for days, not just for years, but he pours his heart and soul into it for decades, because he wants to see you live for God, and he wants to see your life glorify God, and he knows of the correct ways for all of us to live, but yet some may take it, and a majority of folks might reject it. You see, we might have problems with kids being so disrespectful and so disobedient because we as adults are portraying that lifestyle as well. So I want you to understand where I'm coming from this morning. By the way, we as parents shouldn't give them a choice to obey. Here's what we have a problem with parenting today. Today we are more focused on being friends with our kids instead of being their parents. I will say this, there comes a time for parents where they can be friends with their kids. Parenting comes first. The Bible encourages us to raise our children in the Lord. It's going to be hard to raise our children in the Lord when we're more focused on being their friends. Today, at my age now, I consider myself having a good friendship with my mom and dad. Now, years ago, that wasn't on their mind. That wasn't on their forefront. They were more focused on being a parent, raising their kids. But we give our kids a choice today. Paul references the fifth commandment given back in Exodus chapter 20. Let's go ahead and read this. Go ahead and turn back to Exodus chapter 20. I know it's a verse that we all know. We've read it many times. But even that being said, it's good for us to see this with our own eyes this morning. And you say, man, Chad, you're making me turn all the way back to the Old Testament, almost to the very beginning, and my fingers are going to get tired as I get there, and I'm going to be worn out, but that's okay. But as we get there, let's rehearse this. I'm going to read verse number 1. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now I'm going to stop here just for a second. There are a few of the Ten Commandments that cross over into the New Testament. And one of them is the fifth commandment that we're going to read here in verse number 12. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon a land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." I like the next verse, "Thou shalt not kill." Follow that up. "Honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not kill." I kind of find that funny. Well, what are you saying? Does God have a sense of humor? Yes. You mean if my children aren't going to honor the father and mother, then I'm going to have within my inclination to kill them? It's funny how that's in there. Anyway, as we continue to move on here, honor thy father and thy mother. It says it for this reason. It says, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I want you to understand this command that God has given back here in Exodus chapter number 20. This command is given. Do you guys see this? It's given with a promise. Do you see any other command here that is given with a promise? This command is given with a promise. And what is that promise? If you're going to honor your father and your mother, the promise is this: your days will be long. Isn't that incredible? Think about that for a second. So that promise is a long life. Remember this, though. The Bible does not say how long that life will be. As you go to the cemetery, I've said this before, you have on there a dash from the beginning when you came into the world, and at the end of that dash, you have your departure date. Some could be this long, some could be this long, some could be that long. That's what God is talking about here. Your days may be long, but it doesn't say how long life may be. Because life could be, for some, it could be this. It could be 2 days. I have been to an infant's funeral. Matter of fact, there was someone in our church years ago that was a member of this church who lost their infant. And I was a young person at that time. And it's something that has always been etched into my memory bank that I will never forget. As I walk into the funeral parlor and I begin to see the little casket that's on display holding that precious child. The good thing about that is I know where that child is today in the presence of the Lord. You mean baby sin? Yeah, they do. That's why we die. It could be 2 days. Lifespan could be 2 months. Lifespan could be 2 years for that individual. It could be 22 years. It can be 82 years. And it could be 102 years. The length of life for any individual is determined by God. And I'm saying this for a reason. Doctors can't keep you alive. God does. Does God give the doctors the ability to help out? Yeah, I believe that. But the length of life is not determined by the doctors. I've heard people say, well, I shouldn't be here today. Why? God hasn't called you home yet. God has given you a start date. God has given you an end date. And so life is up to Him. Your time on earth is in the hands of God. Amen to that? Some argue this verse because as we go back to verse number 1 of the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, some will argue this verse. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It says, in the Lord, meaning if your parents aren't godly, then you don't have to obey them? No, that's not what that's saying. But some will take that argument and say, well, if my parents aren't being godly and if my parents aren't serving the Lord, then because of this verse, what it says, then I don't have the right to obey them. No, the first commandment says, honor thy mother and thy father. Your days will be long. Here's what takes place when this happens. People twisting scripture. I was in some conversations a few weeks ago, learning where people stand spiritually, and I see how they twist scriptures to benefit them. Some people will go out of their way to get the meaning of scripture that they desire. And it happens quite often. One I can think of right off the top of my head is I'm not going to go there. I'm just not. There's some times when I learn just to keep my mouth shut. You all like look at me, it's about time. The second thing I see here addressed, as I said a little while ago, it isn't the mother, but it's the father. And I'm going to focus on the father for the next several minutes. And Paul is telling the dad this, not to provoke his kids to wrath. I want to believe what Paul is saying here is, fathers, don't always be so hard on your kids. That's the natural thing for a dad to do, because the natural thing for a dad to do is not to coddle, is not to get all soft with the children. The natural thing for a father to do is to be hard. And being a hard father, and I will say this, because I do have some experience in this, when you're constantly being a hard father and you're constantly being negative towards your children, you know what you're doing? Thank you. You're driving your children away. Provoke not your children to wrath. Now, some might take argument with me on this later. That's fine. But we as fathers don't always have to be so hard on your kids. I think he's telling fathers to be more loving. I think he's telling fathers to be more compassionate towards their children. Dads, this should be a lesson for us. We shouldn't always be trying to be browbeating our kids, because we do that. And we may do this because we may feel that they are not living up to their potential. And we forget that they are kids. I feel bad, I really do, because I was one of them. I thank God I'm not in this position anymore, because now I've transitioned from this stage and I'm going into the next stage of my life. And I'm liking different stages, to be honest with you. It's nice to graduate from one stage to the next stage. It really is. You know, before I was graduating from stage to stage, there are times where I would get emotional. You know, as I watched my daughter grow up, I was like, no, I can't, I don't want her to do this, because this is going to bring tears in my eyes and all these things. But I'm happy for these stages now, because you move on. But I'm going to say this. I feel bad for kids today that are involved in sports. I do. I truly do. Because I look at dads at these events, and I was one of them. When a kid makes a mistake, you know what happens? The dad is right there, hovering over them, giving them the eye, saying some things underneath their breath, such as, you foolish kid, I've taught you better than that. Why don't you pay attention to your coach when he's trying to tell you these things? If you were to pay attention, you wouldn't be making mistakes. And it does something to the kids. And as they begin to make their mistakes, the fathers begin to show their disappointment in them. I'm speaking from experience. I've seen my own daughter make mistakes out on the court, and I showed through my face my disappointment. And thank God I have a 5'4", 5'6" blonde wife who will not be afraid to get in my face and say, you better knock it off, mister, because you're not getting this back in your life again. You better enjoy the moment that you have, because one day she's going to be gone. And then you're going to look back and you see how foolish you were for being a jerk that you are. You mean your wife would say that? Hey, my wife's half Syrian, she's half Swedish. She's a tough cookie. And she knows how to throw the remotes very well. I know this from experience. Our first year of marriage, we went through 4 remotes. Thank God for universal remotes. Amen. And then I get mad at the guy who invented remotes. But here's what takes place. Because of dads being so hard on their kids, remember, we're not to provoke our kids to wrath. But here's what normally happens. Most kids end up hating sports. Can I say something this morning? I so desperately wanted my daughter to go to the next level and play college volleyball. I ruined it. I did. But at the same time, I'm so glad that's not her focus, because there's more important things in life. But most kids end up hating sports. They couldn't care. They could not care less because of all the disappointments that they bring to their father. Here's what normally takes place. A lot of them don't desire to have a relationship with their dad because of them being so hard upon them. Fathers, provoke not your kids to wrath. By the way, I've heard many young people say this. I don't even want to play sports because I know I'm such a disappointment to my father. I've heard that from kids. But yet we want them to play, and we encourage them to play, and we make them play. Fathers, provoke not your kids to wrath. Try a path of gentleness. Try a path of kindness. Now, there are times where we have to not spare the rod. There are times where the rod is in need of correction. By the way, I've had the rod used on me on many different occasions. And we joke about it, and I laugh and say, thank God for older brothers, because older brothers were a lot dumber back in the day, and they experienced the rod more than I did. No, I just learned from them. But I got the rod used on me. But here's what I appreciate about the rod being used on me. After the end of every time that was done, there is always a hand that came to my body and said this: I love you, and this is why I'm doing it. Fathers, provoke not your kids to wrath. Try a path of gentleness. Try a path of kindness. And when we do so, we might see a change in our kids of wanting to be obedient to the parent. There's a lesson for us to learn here today. I'm going to go back to my wife here. Chris has told me on many times, stop being so harsh and be more loving. She says it for a reason, because of what she experienced as a young person. She knew what drove her away. And the last thing that she wants me to do is to drive our daughter away because of me being so negative, me being so harsh, and so hard on our daughter. And she says this: when you learn to show compassion, and when you learn to show gentleness, along with you being harsh and negative at times, she says this, Chad, she will be obedient. And I come to find out how true she was on this. It's so true. Kids who have dads that are so negative and so harsh and are even hateful will have kids who are more apt to being disobedient. Julia said it very well. We drive them away. But you have to find the right balance, because you don't always, you don't want your kids walking all over you. There is a balance, because we don't want our children walking all over us. By the way, I work out in this world, just like the rest of you folks do. But I have a little bit more of an advantage of what I see, because I'm in these homes. And I see young people walking all over their parents. There is a fine balance. The best way that we can show our kids that we love them and care for them, and dads, I'm talking to you specifically, because the Bible here says, verse number 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So I want us dads to take this a little bit more serious this morning. So the best way that we can show our kids that we love them, the best way that we can show our kids that we care about them is by this, is by raising them in the Lord. Amen to that. Well, how do we do that? Make God and church a part of their life. In your life as well. Next, we move on to the servant and to the master, and I'm just going to go over this briefly because I see that we're out of time. And that is a category that we all fall in. We are slaves to our jobs. What a good master wants is a servant who is going to give him the best every day they show up for work. Gary operates his own business. He's done it for many years. And I've known of the heartache that he's had with having good, valuable employees. But I do know this about Gary. One, Gary does the same thing that he expects his servants to do. He works right along with them. Matter of fact, I know this, he will outwork them a majority of the time. There will come a day where he won't be able to do that because age will set in. But he can still outwork most 20-year-olds. But what I appreciate about this, Gary expects his employees to show up every single day and give him an honest day's work. The servants at times will be required to work by themselves. And when the boss is gone, it's not a time to slack off. I'm getting to a point here, so stay with me. It's easy to be obedient to your master when he's around. Would you agree with me on that, Gary? When you're around, you see all your employees doing whatever you ask them. But when you leave, I know this because I've talked to him about this. As he gets back to the job site, nothing's done. Why wasn't it done? Because the boss is away. Paul says it's not just with eye service, but it's even when they are not around. We have heard the saying, when the cat is away, what's it say? The mice will play, exactly. All right. When the pastor's away, the church people will play. So let's put this in Bible terms. We are the servants of Jesus, amen? He has given us a job to do. My question this morning as I close out, have we been obedient to the voice of the Master? It's a good question. Or are we slacking off by neglecting our duties? Any master slash boss who has employees that disregards a task that they are given will be disappointed in them without fail. Why are we to walk in obedience? Because we are commanded to do so. God, through His Son, has given us a job to do. Folks, let's be honest. We're slacking off. We're playing. God's serious with His business. A lot of us might not realize this, but we're so close to the rapture. If you were to follow Bible prophecy, which I'm getting more involved in, folks, it's right around the corner, and we have a tremendous job to do. What is that job? It's one simple job, and that's to help fulfill the Great Commission by bringing others to Jesus Christ. But we have come so, I'm going to say this, please don't take offense to this, but we have become so lazy. We as God's servants, our commander, our master has told us to go out into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Every child of God that has accepted Him as Lord and Savior, that is your command. That's what you have been called to do in this life before God takes us from this earth into heaven. We are commissioned, we are commanded to go and bring others to Jesus Christ. But we're so focused upon the things of this world, the things that we're wanting to achieve on this earth, in God's business, we can care less about. When the boss is away, the employees will play. And that's how we're living our life here on earth. This is a challenge for us this morning. You want to walk in obedience? Then, brother, sister, we better get down and mean business with God. Amen? We better mean business with God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the stage You've given us. We thank You for Your word. God, we have been challenged. You have thrown out the challenge to us. And Lord, it's up to us to accept this challenge. Lord, I know that there are approximately 70,000 people in this town. And Lord, there's only about 150 of us here this morning. that profess to know you as Lord and Savior. There could be more out in this community, but God, there could be so many more in this town if we were to do our job as a servant for our master, that is you. Lord, help us to take this challenge seriously. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.